In Congress today, efforts are underway to change the basic law that governs ocean fishing in U.S. waters. The Magnuson-Stevens Act is supposed to regulate fishing and promote conservation, but many kinds of fish are declining in both size and number. One report says as many as 30 species could become extinct. Democratic Congressman Sam Farr of California is introducing a bill that would renew the basic legislation and focus it more strongly on conservation. The Fisheries Recovery Act would outlaw overfishing and try to reduce practices that lead to the crews of many boats taking fish they don't actually want. It's called bycatch. It's a real problem for Atlantic fisheries, where some of the most beautiful and admired fish, the marlin, the sailfish, the spearfish, are in grave danger. Populations are plummeting. Thousands are snared every year in the long fishing lines of commercial fleets that are supposedly harvesting tuna. Scientists suspect these fish also face other problems, and that the key to stopping their decline is in learning more about them, especially their early life. It's still a mystery where the fish spawn and what dangers they face. In Florida, a group of marine biologists aboard a research ship is trying to find the breeding grounds of these fish and then gather data that could save them, NPR's Philip Davis reports.
People have marveled at the majestic blue marlin and its cousins, the sailfish and spearfish, for centuries. A blue marlin was the central character in Ernest Hemingway's novel The Old Man and the Sea, which became a 1958 movie starring Spencer Tracy as Santiago, the Cuban fisherman.
Then suddenly he saw a dark shadow that took so long to pass the boat that he couldn't believe its length.
He can't be that big.
But he was that big.
50 years ago, it was not uncommon for fishermen to land 500-pound blue marlin, like the one Santiago captured out in the Gulf Stream. Schools of marlin were plentiful. Nowadays, sightings of a marlin weighing more than 250 pounds are rare. A recent assessment by the International Association for the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas classified these fishes, collectively known as billfish, as exploited and overfished. Some government biologists estimate there may be fewer than a million of each species left. Now, on a state-of-the-art research vessel called the F.W. Walton Smith, a group of marine biologists is regularly visiting the same Gulf Stream waters fished by Hemingway's hero. But rather than looking for mature marlin and sailfish, they're trying to catch baby billfish just a few days old. In the ship's below-decks biology lab, scientist Ellen Prager explains why. Prager is assistant dean at the University of Miami School of Marine Science.
On land, we protect birds by protecting nesting sites. And they're pretty easy. You can buy the land, you can set up national parks, but in the ocean, it's much more difficult. The first thing you have to do is find those places where fish breed. And that's not such an easy thing. And then, of course, we've got to find a way to protect them. But the first step is the science and understanding where the fish are breeding.
Scientists aboard the ship also hope to catch some baby billfish and keep them alive in order to study their physiology. On this trip, the ship's destination is a promising stretch of the Gulf Stream off the coast of Florida. It's less than 10 miles from the skyscrapers of downtown Miami, but it's teeming with underwater life.
Can you bring the net up?
Two graduate students raise a crane from which hangs a wide-mouthed net with fine mesh. The crane moves the net overboard and drops the net into the sea. It's pulled out a minute later.
You got a good hand on that?
The grad students dump the net's contents into a large container, and Robert Cowan peers inside. Cowan is the director of the school's Center for Sustainable Fisheries.
At the bottom of the jar here, we have a small sailfish, about a little over half inch long, and probably about 12 days old.
Cowan estimates this tiny fish could have been born almost anywhere in the Gulf of Mexico.
This particular fish, I mean, if it came in a straight line shot with the current, it could have come from as much as 400 or 500 kilometers away, maybe even more.
Scientists hope to figure out where these fish spawn by correlating their age with their location. Sophisticated analysis of ocean currents has already helped them locate a previously unknown spawning ground for blue marlin off Exuma Sound in the Bahamas. Cowan says pinpointing more spawning grounds could help protect these fish.
If there's a season or a location that we know, for example, is where they're congregating for spawning, then one mechanism might be to restrict fishing in that location for that particular period.
The baby fish goes into a holding tank on the deck. The water in the tank circulates just like an ocean current. Researchers hope this will minimize the trauma to young billfish yanked out of the ocean. To this day, no baby marlin or other billfish has lasted more than a week outside its natural habitat. But each trip brings new advances, and scientists hope they'll soon be able to raise a marlin in captivity. They plan to report on their progress at a marine biology conference in Miami this fall. Philip Davis, NPR News, Miami.